We look to wrap up tonight about this of Tyrus, the enemies of the Lord, that we find there in Psalm 83. We've been taking a look at this city of Tyre. Tyrus is also how it's referred to in the Scriptures. And we're down to the New Testament. Last time we began to go into the New Testament and saw about how there were so many, even from Tyre and Sidon. And I'd often wondered in times past why the Lord Jesus would go to Tyre, but there's a reason for that, I believe. It really wasn't occupied by Israel in the day of our Lord's ministry. It had been taken from them centuries before, and even going back to the time of Israel, when the divided kingdom going into captivity. It seems to me that it's from then. But the Lord went up there for a reason, because it is, we know from the Scriptures, that that's part of the land that the Lord had given even to the tribe of Asher. We come to Matthew chapter 15, and that folks even from Tyre and Sidon were part of the multitudes that would come to hear the Lord Jesus, 35 or so miles from Capernaum. And even beyond, down to the south, the folks coming as far as Idumea, on down there south of the Dead Sea, to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here in Matthew chapter 15 an account. And I trust that you've seen and understand that by this subject of the enemies of the Lord, we're touching on so many different pieces and parts, hallmark passages of the Scripture that teach us and instruct us and inform us about so many things. Here in Matthew chapter 15, in this account, we pick it up in verse number 21. And Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And so he's there in this region of Tyre and Sidon, and we've seen that in the Scriptures, how for centuries they've been referred to together. The Lord Jesus goes up there because that's part of the of Israel and the mind and the thinking of God, land given unto Israel back to the days of Brother Joshua. And so this woman is here, and we take it that she is a Gentile, and she has a cause. She's heard about the workings of the Lord, the miracles that he has worked, and heard about the great fame that he has, and she comes to him and says, Help. The disciples, being jealous about being Jews, go to the Lord and say, She's wearing us out. And so this woman just kept on. She just kept on. You know, that's a lesson and a message to you and me to keep on. The desire of our heart, the thing that we desire of the Lord, that only the Lord can work in, we need to keep after the Lord. I think the Lord instructs us in that. We need to keep on. This woman was wearing them out. She answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, verse 23, for she crieth after us. It was wearisome, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so it's that statement that gives us understanding that we believe that this woman is a Gentile. And the Lord, as he is instructed or will instruct, I don't know exactly where it is in the timeline of the Gospels, but that the ministry that the disciples, the apostles have, is only unto Israel. Okay? And that's during the time of our Lord Jesus' ministry. And so he backs that up. He says, I've only come to the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, help me. So she worships the Lord, and understand that wording. You know, how is it that you and I think about our Lord? Do we think about God? Is our reference to the Lord always God? God this, God that, God the other. It's not saying that anyone that just uses that reference of God doesn't love the Lord as much as they should. But I tell you what, the name Lord does bring it home more, does it not? Lord, He is our Lord. She says, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, that is Israel. And the Lord tells us in the Scripture plainly in the book of John that He is the bread of life. He is that bread, John 6, He is that bread sent down from heaven. He says it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, to dogs. So here He's making a distinction about the household of Israel and the Gentiles. How does that make you feel? Does that anger you that the Lord would refer to the Gentiles as dogs? Well, it's just the truth. From the standpoint of our Lord's favor upon a nation and what He had manifested unto this day, He had given prophecy and such as that, that the Lord would come and the Gentiles would trust in Him. But in the day of this ministry and He fulfilling all that had been prophesied to Israel about the coming Messiah, He said, the bread is to be given only to the children, not to those that are not the children. Speaking of that distinction between the Gentiles and the nation of Israel, listen to her faith. She said, truth, Lord. She doesn't argue with Him. She doesn't argue with Him. I understand here, this woman is not working the Lord. I was asked a few years ago about preaching a message sometime, and I've not done it yet, about preaching a message about how you and I are given the promises of God and those things given to us by our Lord, but how it is that we don't leverage our Lord in any way, but we are yet to take what He has promised us and given to us as His children to Him, for whatever is at hand, whatever it is that we need or are burdened with and we need His help to work. This woman is not working the Lord. He knows exactly what's going on as He does, as He deals with you and me too. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Oh, I tell you what, she wasn't discouraged, nor was she offended, was she? She just spoke the truth. What the Lord said she agreed to is the truth, was the truth, and for that day and that time. But she said, yeah, the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table, from the master's table. What's Jesus say? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, why do you think that He would preface His statement with that, O woman? Does our Lord have a smile on His face? I indeed think that He does. Because you know what's been manifested here in this? This woman's faith that the Lord Jesus can do for her and for her daughter what none other can do. She will not quit Him, but she entreats Him. Yet in honor and glorifying of Him, He answers, O woman, great is thy faith. And remember, faith is always directed at our Lord Jesus. Faith is always directed to our God, the Lord God Almighty, to His Son, Jesus Christ. O woman, great is thy faith, if you will, in me. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Come over here to Mark chapter 7, and I want to read this. We get a little bit more understanding or more facts added to the account here in Mark. In Mark chapter 7, verse number 24, we pick it up, the same account. And from thence He arose, Jesus, and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but He could not be hid. So He wanted to go there secretly, but it just couldn't be done from the human standpoint. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, so we see here the daughter is demon-possessed, heard of Him and came and fell at His feet. We see that worshiping of the Lord, don't we? No better place than be at than at the feet of our Lord Jesus. He's worthy to be worshiped, and it's the right place for us. She came and fell at his feet, and the woman was a Greek. So more clarity here about her citizenry and who she's from. She's a Greek, she's a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him, Jesus, that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. So we have more clarity here about the girl's problem. But Jesus said unto her and to the woman, "Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it into the dogs." So here we have this that's added, that's in addition to what we read over in Matthew. Let the children first be filled. So that does give hope to another time and another day where others will be filled. And of course, we know that. You and I, we that are saved, we've been filled by that bread of life, haven't we? What is it that Jesus said? Ye eat of this bread, you'll never be hungry again. Because Jesus satisfies. Partaking of the Lord Jesus Christ from within. Not that we don't hold by any means, nor does the Scripture know anything about transubstantiation held by some, where the observance of the Lord's Supper. We observe the Lord's Supper here Sunday before last. The bread does not turn into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor does the wine turn into his blood, but they're symbolic. And in that symbology, it tells about how we partaken of Christ. We can partake of nothing more than how it is that we eat our food. I mean, our food is the energy of life, and that's what has been said for years and known. You are what you eat, right? We need to eat. Well, we need to partake of Christ. Every sinner needs to partake of Christ like that, fully and completely within. And so here he gives hope. The children first be filled. Let the children first be filled. So maybe there is a time coming on, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it into the dogs presently. Verse 28, she answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And said masters over in the book of Matthew, but here the dogs eat under the table, eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. So we see here this account. You know, it seems from the Scripture as we go and to verse number 31, "And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee." It seems like from what the evidence we have in the Scriptures, what's declared in the Scriptures, in the Gospels about this account, he went there for this and then left. Isn't that something? We know other occasions where the Lord went there for a case and left. Has the Lord ever visited you? Yeah, we who are saved, the Lord has visited us. He came to where we were and visited us indeed, didn't he? And praise the Lord for it. He knows individuals and he knows the need. In Matthew chapter 11, we finally come to this point about what Jesus has said in the Gospels regarding Tyre, the city of Tyre. And the Lord Jesus is here in chapter 11 of Matthew, and he's commanded the apostles to preach in their cities, in the cities that they're from. John has sent two to go and inquire of the Lord Jesus whether he be the Christ or not in this chapter. John's in prison by Herod. And the Lord Jesus in verse number 7 of Matthew 11 speaks to the multitude about John and who he is. It says in verse number 14 of this chapter, "And if you will receive it, this is Elias," or Elijah, "which was for to come," the forerunner of Christ, prophesied in the Old Testament Scriptures. And then he talks about the contrast between John and himself. We come to verse number 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Are you listening? Are you listening? Especially you that are here and not saved. Are you listening to this? The Lord is going to upbraid in the day of his ministry. And I tell you what, this extends all the way here unto our day and to this hour and this time. He is upbraiding these. Why? Because they repented not. That is the reason that he has these sharp words. Yes, they were there in the day of the ministry of our Lord Jesus when he walked this earth, became a man and lived for 30 years and then began his ministry and at 33 years of age gave himself on the cross of Calvary for his people's sins, was buried and rose again. Yes, they were there and they heard, some of them heard him speak and saw him heal. But you know what? You and I that are here even in this day, some nearly 2,000 years later, we have no less vivid picture of what our Lord Jesus has done than they. Because we have his word. We have the Bible. Where there were very few that saw all and heard all of what Jesus preached and what he did. You and I have everything that God says that we need right here in these Gospels. And our Lord is getting ready to upbraid some cities. He's rebuking some cities because he had done the works that he had done and they had not repented. Listen, where are you tonight? Have you repented of your sins before God? That's what the call and the command of the Lord is for sinners like you and me to repent of our sins before God, to admit to God that we are guilty of sinning against Him, not against one another, and we have, but we are guilty of sinning, transgressing His law against Him, and He is holily and righteously offended in that. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, verse 21. Chorazin. Archaeologists believe that Chorazin is a city that's some 2.5 miles or so north of Capernaum. And Capernaum is up there on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum is the city where the Lord Jesus seemed to make his headquarters when he came from Nazareth into Galilee. And it's from Capernaum that he seemed to headquarter out of and go different directions and come back to. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, a city there north of Capernaum. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Bethsaida, we see in John chapter 1, verse number 44, is the city of Andrew and Peter, two of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now, we just saw the seemingly from the Scriptures that short trip that the Lord made up to Tyre and Sidon, that region, dealing with the Syrophoenician woman and her daughter, and then seemingly quickly departing. We don't have any other account than that in the Scriptures. Is the Lord talking about that day and in that time? The words that he uses here, if the works that have been done in thee, in Chorazin and in Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a city that's there on the coastline, northern coastline of the Sea of Galilee, to the east of Capernaum. Peter and Andrew's city, as we pointed out. He said if the works done there had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Long ago. Seemingly the Lord is not talking about just the time that he had just made the trip up there that we read in the Gospels, but talking about all the time that you and I have taken a look at in the Scriptures about Tyre and Sidon. And what is it that we found out about Tyre? Tyre seemingly representing in the world all the wealth and the commerce and the industry of men that has been done on the earth, that will not stand against the Lord, and that pursued by men for the sake of men, not to the glory of God, is indeed in its end vanity. It's vanity, it's vain, it's empty. And not a bit of it will go on to eternity. And the Lord's destroyed it all several times because of its godlessness and it representing indeed the way of man. The best in finance, in wealth, in pursuit. Remember when we studied about those ships and how those ships from Tyre sailed the Mediterranean and maybe even beyond to bring the wealth of the world to that place, that crossroads of the world? It will not stand against the Lord. And it will not profit one man, one woman, for what they face in eternity without the Lord. Our Lord Jesus knows that the miracles that he has done in Chorazin and Bethsaida had been done in Tyre and Sidon over the ages. He says they would have repented like Nineveh did. Remember about Nineveh? Brother Jonah was sent to Nineveh. He was sent to Nineveh to preach a message, and he didn't do very well preaching it, but he preached. And you know what? There was repentance that was there. And the king on down put on sackcloth and ashes. And they sought the Lord's face regarding the message that the Lord had sent. And here Chorazin and Bethsaida have seen the mighty works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And they have not repented. But he said Tyre and Sidon would have. Wonder how this would hit the Jews. Wonder what the Jews in that day that heard these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, wonder what their thinking of Tyre and Sidon over the ages and through history was. I would venture that the Jews' idea of Tyre and Sidon would be a bitter one, a sour one. Yet a mention once again of Gentiles that had abused the Lord's nation and even Jerusalem, as we've read. I think that the Jews would have contempt for Tyre and Sidon. And the Lord said, if the mighty works that had been done here in Chorazin and Bethsaida had been done there, they would have repented. But you Jews, you have not. How does that speak for you and me? Here in the day that we have the full canon of Scripture, the Word of God, that God has so provided and preserved and brought it here to our language, and it's so plentiful. We who are blessed, and you are blessed, and many of us for all of our lives, and most of us for a big chunk of our lives, being so near to the kingdom of God and being near one of his churches that proclaim his word, preaching about Jesus and preaching about the working of God and the work of God and his purpose, his plan, his design in every way. And yet there are those here that have not repented before God. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. The Lord knows that what was done in that day, if it had been done in another day, he knows that they would have repented. for the working and the plan of God, the working and plan of our Lord was not to do that in that day. But he did it in the day that we read in this passage. He did do it there. He didn't send that word and that message and the manifestation, the showing forth of his miracles and the coming of the Savior. He didn't do it in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented. He chose not to do it then, but he did it in these cities, and yet they rejected. What a gracious and merciful Lord we have. He did bring it to a people that needed it. And what did they do? They turned away their eyes and their hearts from the light. Isn't that what the Lord told Nicodemus in John 3? They don't want the Lord. They don't want His salvation, His forgiveness. And He says, the Lord knows this, in the day of judgment, Tyre and Sidon and all of their history, it's going to be more tolerable for them than it's going to be for Chorazin and Bethsaida. The Lord knows that too. The Lord knows about each and every individual, and His Word brought to each and every individual time after time. The Lord knows it. And He knows the hardness of hearts, and He knows the rejecting of His Word and His truth. And He knows the judgment that He will pour out upon unrepentant, unbelieving sinners. And thou Capernaum. So now the headquarters city, the city where the Lord seems to come and go from. At one time I would have thought that Capernaum would have been the city of James and John, but I'm of a different opinion. We have passages in the Gospels that tells us in Luke 5:10 that James and John were partners with Peter and Andrew in their fishing work. They could have been from Capernaum. Maybe they were, but it seems like they're from Bethsaida too. But the Lord brings in Capernaum here. And He says, "And thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven." Pride. Pride in being a chief city there on the Sea of Galilee. Pride in maybe being one of those cities that are on the trade routes from the east to the west in that part of the world. A city with some kind of advantage. And the Lord even referencing here that He said, "Though thou be exalted, though thou art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee," which have been done in thee, "had been done in Sodom." Sodom's been one of those cities that we've pulled out and understood out of the Scriptures, hadn't it? That it is one of those cities in the world that has been mentioned for centuries. From the day of Brother Abraham and the Lord's destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah for the wickedness that they pursued there, it lives on yet today as a byword and in derision of those that hold to the truth of what God says about the wickedness done there in that place. Sodom. Our Lord says if what was done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. The Lord knows that. Now, do you and I believe that? I tell you what, it was wicked in Sodom, wasn't it? The Lord, at the urging, at the pleading of Brother Abraham, could not find 10 in Sodom that were believers in the Lord. Just believers. The Lord's people. And if what was done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom, the Lord Jesus says, they would have remained until today. That's a statement. They've been burned up and gone for hundreds of years. But then what's that say to you and me today? You and I that are here. You that are here tonight. You've got all of it right here in the Word of God. But Brother Jim, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I didn't hear Him speak it. I didn't see Him walk and heal and preach. I tell you what, you've got the same thing right here. It's right here. If you don't believe this, you wouldn't have believed it if you'd have seen it. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom. Sodom, Gomorrah, what, the three or four cities of the plain that were also destroyed with them? He said, in the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for them than for thee. Understand, our Lord knows the beginning from the end. And He declares it even here. We turn over here to Luke chapter 10 quickly, and let's just read this account. The Lord Jesus, Luke giving His account of this same occasion. I'm sorry, this is the Lord sends out the 70. And He talks to them about shaking off the dust, as we saw about the Apostle Paul on Sunday. They're dealing with the folks in Corinth. And He tells them in verse 8, whatever city you enter into and that they receive you, eat the things that are set before you. But if they don't receive you, go your ways, verse number 10, and into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, verse 11, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works that had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they would have a great while long ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, thou shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, he says to the 70, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. That verse is the reason for reading that passage. The Lord touching on those same words. Understand, rejection of God's Word is not rejection of Brother Jim Duke or any of the children of God that are here, members of Olmsted Baptist Church or Olmsted Baptist Church itself. Hardness and coldness to what our Lord has done and preached and said and what He's provided in His gospel, what He's commanded to men, women, boys, and girls to repent of their sins and believe and trust in Him for the salvation of their souls. The despising is not the despising of us. But it's the despising of God and the Lord Jesus Christ that have sent these words and done these things and sent this message, and our Lord Jesus that fulfilled His gospel for the sake of sinners. You don't repent. You despise the Lord and His Word. You don't receive and believe it. You despise Him and what He has done in thee. Tyre. Tell you what, the city of Tyre is not too pretty of a picture, is it? But you know what? Our Lord Jesus says, and gives this that we can understand and read in this day as we have here in these Gospels, that in the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and in His salvation, and understand, it didn't come in their day, But the Lord Jesus says there was hope and help for them. The power is in Him. So what about you? You're here, you're alive, and the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. He's saving sinners. He's provided His gospel. I pray you not close your ears to it and close your hearts to it. I pray that you will not despise it. I pray that you will not despise the Lord Jesus and despise God the Father that has sent Him, but that you will receive it and that you will repent and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next time, Lord willing, we've got one more country that is mentioned in the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel, and that is of Assyria. And as we go through and take a look at the nation of Assyria, we're going to come across again some hallmark passages and hallmark accounts in the Scripture, good foundational things from which the Lord teaches us and shows us His might and His power. And so I trust that you'll be looking forward to that and praying that the Lord would help us and bless us together.